morning, Rabbosai, and as always, I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning shiur. Thank everyone for coming. I'd like to speak today about a very important topic, which is relevant very much in our times, in all generations, but particularly in our times, and that is the topic of Lashon Hara as when it comes to Shiduchim. And which I will elaborate on in a moment. We know that the Parshas Chayesara is referred to as the Parsha of Shiduchim. The second half of the Parsha speaks at great length of the Shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka. And as such, there are many details that are learned out. One looks at the Pesukim carefully through the eyes of the Mefarshim. There are many details that one can glean from there in terms of what the priorities are in when a person is looking for a spouse, what the values of the Torah are in such a situation. And throughout the generations, the Gedolim have pointed to this parsha to derive very important lessons. What I would like to focus on, though, is in the pursuit of Shiduchim. So we know it's very common that in a marriage situation, so very regardless of how the couple met, regardless of whether it was a formal shidduch where it was a set up a type of situation, or perhaps even if it was a boy meets girl type of thing, but sooner or later, responsible parents are going to be concerned to see, is this in fact appropriate for my child? And the questions begin to be asked. And as such, there's an exchange of what's called information, shidduch information. People make phone calls, try to inquire, which is, we'll see in a moment, the correct thing to do. But at the same time, you run the risk of playing with fire because of the fact that a lot of things come out in such conversations and such discussions, and very often unnecessary information comes out. Oftentimes, a shidduch, the person who was called for information, with the slightest inflection of his voice can cause the caller to say, oh, forget it, this isn't it. They didn't jump right away and they didn't seem so excited. You start making all kinds of diukim and all kinds of inferences. So the question is, on the other hand, you have to give accurate information. So the question is, what can a person say? What can a person say? And that's what I would like to try to touch upon today. These halachas are gleaned almost exclusively from the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, both in the Hilchos Lashon Hara and the Hilchos Rechilus. At the very end, the very, very end of the Hilchos Rechilus in Klal Tes, the Chafetz Chaim speaks at length about the topic of Shiduchim. But hopefully we can get to some of the important points here. Now, obviously, to be involved in Shiduchim is a very great mitzvah. It's a great chesed to try to set up a person in such a way that they could find someone who's suitable for them to marry. This is held by the Chazal to be a very, very great mitzvah. It's a great act of Gemilas Chasadim. And by all means, the purpose of this is not to dissuade anyone from getting involved in such a pursuit. To the contrary, this is something that, perhaps we don't do enough of. You hear today the talk of the shidduch crisis and so forth. And whatever it is, whatever a person can do to help out is a tremendous act of Gemilas Chasadim. Okay, with that in mind, so we have to know what is the basis in general. What mitzvahs are involved here? Where in the Torah does it speak about this topic at all? If you look in Parshas Chayesara, as much as it speaks about the shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka, but this particular point that we're focusing on is not mentioned directly. So if you look at the handout here, pretty much the entire discussion is based upon one pasuk in the Torah, and this pasuk really presents both sides of the story. If you look here, is a pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim, Perek Yutes, pasuk Tes Zayin. The Torah says, "Lo selech Rachel ba'amecha," that a person should not be a talebearer. A person should not go and give over negative information about someone to someone else. Okay, that's the prohibition of Lashon Hara and Rechilus both. Okay, but the second half of the pasuk says, "Lo samod al dam reyecha," that a person should not stand by his brother's blood. Now, what that means in the most immediate sense, lo samo dal dam reyecha, means that if you see a Jew is being physically attacked, so you have to try to do what you can to protect him, to save him, don't stand by your brother's blood. But in the halacha, this pasuk applies to many other things as well. It applies to if a person is the subject of any form of attack, whether it's a physical attack or perhaps a slanderous attack. This is also an inyan of lo samad al dam reyecha. But furthermore, the pasuk also refers to a situation where you see your fellow Jew being led into a situation that you know is bad for him. You know, this is harmful for the person to go into this situation. It could be very destructive for the person to get involved in this type of situation. And you know that, and he may not know that. So that is also, if he knows it, it's the same thing. But oftentimes, he may not be aware of that. So here, the Torah tells us, lo samad al dam reyecha, that you can't stand by and let it go. You can't just look away and say, yeah, listen, what could you do? It's not my problem. You're not allowed to say that. The Torah specifically tells us that you're not allowed to say it's not my problem when it's affecting another person. Lo samad al dam reyecha. So therefore, we have in this pasuk really the balance. You have the two issues that are involved. On the one hand, the person not allowed to say lashon hara, which means that you can't, and lashon hara means to say anything negative. We'll see in a minute in the Rambam, to say anything negative about a person is lashon hara. But on the other hand, sometimes if you don't say it, the person could be led into a disaster, right? He doesn't know. When it comes to a shidduch, potentially you could have a situation, it could happen in the world that one of the people involved that you know for a fact is not a stable person, but it won't necessarily come out. It won't come out in the meetings between the boy and the girl. They won't necessarily, the person who's unstable is able to hide it. So, no one's gonna know, but you know that that the person has a very serious problem that could be very harmful to the marriage. So in a situation like that, so you have, on the one hand, you say, well, I don't want to say it because it's Lashon Hara. But on the other hand, how could you stand by and let this go on? You get this disaster. This person is being led into a situation of potential disaster. So therefore, these are the two mitzvahs that hang in the balance. When a person is giving over, when a person is consulted, when a person is called and say, you know, my child or whatever is involved in a shidduch or is looking into a shidduch with this person. So you have to balance these two things out. On the one hand, you can't say negative. On the other hand, you can't allow a person to be led into a harmful situation. So this is really what the basis for all the analysis that comes up in this topic. So if we look, for example, in the Rambam, here on the sheet, the second quote here. So the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Deis, in Halacha Hey, the Rambam says, Echad ha-mesaper b'loshen hara b'fnei chavero o shelo b'fanav. Okay, that a person who says loshen hara, whether it's in front of his friend or not in front of him, behind his back, v'ha-mesaper dvarim she-garmim. Now, what is Lashon Hara? So the Rambam is going to define the Dvarim, words, Shegarmim, that cause Im Nishmu, if they will be heard, Ishmi Piyish, if it is heard from what, related from one person to the next, Lahazik Chavero, that it will damage the person, either Begufo or Bimamono, it will damage the person either physically or monetarily, Bafiu Lahotzerlo, Olahafchido, even if it's just words that are going to cause the person Tsar. It's going to cause the person grief or stress or frighten him. Harezeh Lashon Hara. So this is considered Lashon Hara. In other words, contrary, we've spoken about this in the past, contrary to the widely held definition, which is inaccurate. People think Lashon Hara is when you say something which isn't true. That's not Lashon Hara. That's what's called Motzi Shemra. That's a separate Isser. That you're saying something about a person, where you're being motzi, you're bringing about a shem ra, a bad name on a person, which is inaccurate. Okay, lashon hara, the Torah definition of lashon hara is when you're saying something which is true. Okay, if it's not true, it's a different discussion. Lashon hara is when it's true. But the fact that something is true does not justify saying it. It depends on the situation. So the Rambam here is telling us that without a justification, what is considered Lashon Hara? Anything that would cause the person any sort of harm, whether it would be physically, monetarily, causing him grief, causing embarrassment, anything like that, anything like that is considered lashon hara. So that includes a lot of, you know, a lot of things. You say anything negative about a person is lashon hara. You know, we have to realize that, you know, oftentimes, just as an aside, when we think about this prohibition of lashon hara, so it seems very challenging. Like, what do you mean? You can't say anything. And, you know, basically a person should be best off just not talk very much, which there may be truth to that. But the reality is that we have to bear in mind that if you look in the Torah, you see many prohibitions again when it comes to speech, many mitzvahs that pertain to speech. For example, you have Lashon Hara and Rechilas, Motzi Shem Ra. You also have the concept of Nedarim, where a person makes a vow. Just by uttering words, a person makes a pledge, he's going to do a mitzvah, whatever it is. You have the Shavuos, where a person makes swears. Many, many mitzvahs in the Torah pertain to speech. And the reason for that is because the Moser Ha'adam in HaBehema, because the ultimate manifestation of Chachma, God gave Chachma to people only. Right? No other being in the world, no other living creature in the world other than people have das. And the reason why Hashem gave people, the das that were given to people, that is the ultimate manifestation of the Tzelem Elokim. That's what makes a person special. Hashem gave a person das, that a person could think and a person could make choices and choose bein tov l'ra. That's the whole challenge of life. The whole challenge of life is bechira, that a person is confronted with situations and should choose between the right thing and the wrong thing. Right? Man was not given wisdom and chokhmah to shoot rockets up to the moon or to build incredible skyscrapers, but rather to be able to make the choice between good and bad. And therefore, since das is the gift that God gave exclusively to people, and speech is the ultimate manifestation of das, right? A person speaks, that's the result, hopefully the result of something that he was thinking, right? On some level, right? In other words, a person was thinking about something, and to crystallize his thoughts, it comes out in speech. So therefore, speech is a davar chashuv. This is the gift that Hashem gave to people, and not to animals, and not to any other being. And therefore, for that reason, the Torah is so makbid on what a person says, because this is an abuse for a person to use speech to cause someone sorrow, noas dvarim, to say something which is going to hurt somebody, hurtful words, or to say lashon hara is an abuse of the ultimate gift that mankind was given. So therefore we have to understand this, that as much as the mitzvah of lashon hara is something that seems very restrictive and it sort of like takes the fun out of life in a certain sense, you say, wait a minute, I can't sit and schmooze and talk lashon hara, what kind of geschmack is that, right? But some of a person's fondest memories, right? You say, that time we sat together and, are you kidding? We sat for hours, we spoke about everybody, but that is an abuse of the misuse of the gift that Hashem gave people, yeah.
Unsolicited.
Yeah. I'm going to get to all of that. Okay. So that is the isser of lashon hara. Now, however, on the other side of the coin, as I said before, you have the isser of, you have the lo samad al dam reecha. The Torah says you can't stand by and watch a person get hurt. But it's not only that. But if you look here in the Rambam on the bottom of the page, the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach, in Halacha Yudalid. So the Rambam says as follows, in the second line of Halacha Yudalid, which is, five lines from the bottom. So the Rambam says, V'chein kol ha-machshel o-iver bedavar. The Rambam here is discussing another Isser in the Torah, which is, with Ne'iver Losita and Michel, which we also happen to have on this page, on the top of the page, in Parshas Kedoshim, in Pasuk Yudalid, the Torah tells us the famous prohibition with Ne'iver Losita and Michel, that you can't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. So what does it mean, a stumbling block in front of a blind person? So obviously the literal meaning is true, but it also means to mislead a Jew, to mislead a person into a situation that's not good for him, is putting a stumbling block in front of him. He doesn't see it. You're taking him for a ride, right? You're bringing him into a bad business deal, whatever it is, that's also a navel. So he's blind. Even though he's not physically blind, but in this matter, he's blind. He can't see what's going on. He doesn't have a knowledge of the situation. So you're bringing him into that situation. You're putting a stumbling block on the path of a blind person. You're putting something in his way that's going to hurt him. So the Rambam says, What would be an example of this? So the Rambam says, giving a person Eitzah She'eino Hogenes. Eitzah She'eino Hogenes is an inappropriate piece of advice. Okay, giving a person bad advice. Bad advice is putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person. If he's turning to you for advice, that means that he's blind to a certain degree. He needs to know. He can't make this decision on his own. So he's blind. In that way, in that sense, the person is blind. So he needs advice. And if you're going to give him bad advice, that's what Nebel is to Michshol. Okay? So he says further, or if a person encourages someone to do the wrong thing, right? So skipping a little bit, he says, I raise that over, Veloso say, Shenemuf Nebel is to Michshol. So this also comes up in the situation where a person is calling for advice about a prospective marriage partner, a shidduch. So the question, again, you know, you're going to say, if you say inaccurate things, oh, the person's wonderful, and you know it's not true, so then it's l'shnevel l'sitim michshol, you're putting an obstacle in front of a blind person. He doesn't know. He doesn't know the person well enough, right? Even from meeting a person, even from dating a person, people, it happens all the time, right? People go on their best behavior, so you don't see the truth necessarily, sometimes things come out, sometimes not. The person you try to make inquiries to find out, am I seeing correctly? So this person, in that sense, is blind. And if you're going to go ahead and mislead them, so it's l'shnevel l'sitim michshol. So therefore, this is the problem, the sort of almost like catch-22 situation that a person is in when he's confronted with this request to give over information. Because on the one hand, you have the problem of lashon hara. On the other hand, you have the concern that it's lo samad al dam reyecha. You can't stand by and watch. You can't stand by your brother's blood and watch him or her get into trouble. Or so too with nevel asitin michshol. So this is where the questions come up. So basically, we have to understand as follows. In order to approach this, so first and foremost, we have to look at a statement here that is on the other side of the page. The Chafetz Chaim tells us in the Hilchos Lashon Hara, in the fourth section of the Hilchos Lashon Hara, and that is as follows. The Chafetz Chaim said, because one might say that perhaps you shouldn't even be allowed to inquire information about a shidduch because of the fact that, well, I could be causing the person to say lashon hara. Who knows what's going to be said? I'm going to hear all kinds of things. So the Chafetz Chaim here tells us, he says that v'dalad ikar gadol min yonim eilu. The Chafetz Chaim says a very important point that we should consider is that im echad rotzel hachnos chaver bin yonav, that if a person wants to join together with his fellow Jew in any sort of issue, could go with schar or melachta, whether it's to hire him as an employee, or with shtatef imo, or to become a business partner with the person, or also shidduch imo, or to enter into a shidduch, right? So the chalke agav in any such situation. Says the Chafetz Chaim, afilu lo shama lo varata shum ra. Even if the person inquiring has no reason to think that there's anything bad. In other words, let's say, and now we're going to be speaking not just about a shidduch, but let's say a prospective business partner or an employee, right? So you do checks, you make make phone calls, find out this person works for you. So what happens if you're in a situation where you have no reason to suspect anything bad? Right? I've met the person, I was very impressed. I interviewed this person, potential employee, or potential business partner, or I met this prospective shidduch, and I was very, very impressed with them. And quite frankly, I don't have any reason to suspect there's anything bad. Am I allowed to ask in that case? Says the Chafetz Chaim that, afilu shomat olavat adat shumra, even if you haven't heard anything bad, afilu ochi mutter lidrosh velachlar eto anoshim al mahusav inyono. A person is absolutely allowed, and we'll see even encouraged, to go ahead and ask. Even though, that when you ask these questions, you're aware that who knows what I'm going to hear back. In other words, I'm considering taking in a person as a partner in my business. Okay, and I know I've met the person, I looked at their resume. It all looks good. It all looks good. So, and I'm impressed with them. So, am I even allowed to make a phone call? If I call somebody else, who knows what they're going to start telling me? It would be lashon hara. So the Chofetz Chaim says, no, that's not a concern. You're allowed to do it. Why? Afilu achi mutter. Why? Kiven the kavanosa latovas atzmo levad. Because the reason why you're allowed to do this is because your intent here is just to protect yourself from harm. That my concern here is I don't want to get into a fight down the road. In other words, I'm taking in, let's say, a business partner or an employee. So we all know that if the wrong decision is made, you're taking a person and it turns out to be an uncomfortable situation. So very often it's going to end up in a dispute. The odds of it ending amicably are not high, and it's going to end up in a dispute. And if it's between Jews, it could often end up in a Chil Hashem. Can end up in a Chil Hashem because, you know, each side gets all, you know, heated about it, and they start saying all kinds of things, and you know, you go to shul on Shabbos, and this side of the shul is talking about this one, and that one's talking about that one, and it leads to, you know, there's sometimes a double pasha, you know, and that's when the ultimate Lashon Hara situations, right? And the fact of the matter is that this is a Chil Hashem that could have been avoided. When Jews are in a fight, in a public fight, it's a Chil Hashem, regardless of how it turns out. It's a Chil Hashem. It looks bad. Goyim look at this and they say, what? Even that's just Goyim. Jews look and say, what's going on over here? Why can't these people work out their differences? And that's even without nasty things being said, and then all kinds of libel things are said, and who knows what? Everybody gets angry. We all know this. So therefore, it's always best in advance to do what you can to make sure that you won't, to do it as best as you can, you won't get into such a situation. So therefore, as much as a person can, the Chofetz Chaim says he is absolutely allowed to do it. There's not a problem with Lashon Hara because his intent when he's trying to find out this information is not to hurt the other person and it's not to cause the other person harm. To the contrary, he's trying to do it to avoid this from happening. Because if I hear it now, so I'll avoid a situation and it could end up in a disaster. And certainly when it comes to a shidduch. Right? It doesn't need to be said. They're certainly, if it's the wrong situation, so then it'll certainly end up in a disaster. So then, to avoid that, a person is allowed 100% to, and even encouraged to try to investigate ahead of time to avoid all these kinds of things. And that's not called Lashon Hara. That's not called that a person is seeking out Lashon Hara. Of course, if he calls up the person and says, you know, okay, give me the dirt on this guy. So then that already, you know, the way you're asking the question, you're asking for Lashon Hara, you're almost encouraging Lashon Hara to be said. But if it's asked in the proper way, in an appropriate manner, you say, I need to know. Please be honest with me. I need to know the situation. It could be he's a very good person, but not for me. Right, with the shidduch, we all know that that's true. And there's a lot of good people in the world. Doesn't mean that they're necessarily all suitable for each other. So that's what I'm saying. I don't need to know that the person is bad. I just need to know that is the person for me. Maybe the person not for me. Could be a very good shidduch for somebody else. But it's not for me. So that type of question, to ask such a question, is 100% mutter, says the Chofetz Chaim, even if you have no reason to suspect otherwise. Even if, as far as you know, is a good person from a good family and all that, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that it's a good shidduch. That doesn't mean it's maybe on paper it's a good shidduch, but the life is not lived out on paper. So therefore, you have to know it's a good shidduch for me. Okay, so that means that on that basis, a person is allowed to ask. And thus we get, he gets from time to time a phone call. What do you think about this match? What do you think about this shidduch? Now here, so the person soliciting the information has this heter. Now what about the person who's responding? So the person who's responding really is in a very, very tough situation. And I can tell you, just being a Rebbe here in the yeshiva of boys who are just a year or two away from marriageable age, I get called often. And sometimes, you know, when I hear the name, I breathe a sigh of relief. I say, oh, no problem. You know, this guy's a malach, you know, and other times you have to know, you know, but you really have to be on the alert because it's very, very delicate situation because if you think too long, already you're transmitting a message that this isn't such a simple situation, which could cause a shidduch to be broken off. On the other hand, you know, you have to think very quickly, you know, and accurately as much as possible. So what does a person have to be aware of? Okay, so the first thing that a person has to be aware of is that you can only say what generally speaking, if the information that is being solicited is pertinent and it's relevant, so you have the right to respond, which we'll see soon. You have the right to respond to that. But if what's being asked has no tachlis, there's no point. Like, what are you asking me this for? How is this relevant to anything? What difference does it make? Or, for example, if you have a situation where you know that just based on what they're telling you, you know right off the top of your head, this is not what they're looking for. Because let's say, for example, in today's world, you have many boys that want to continue learning in kolel after they get, you know, after marriage, but you have many that don't. So if you know right off the bat that they're looking for someone in kolel and this boy is not planning on learning in kolel, so that's all that needs to be said. There's no heter to say, and by the way, his father's a ganav, and he's a this and a that and the other. You have no heter to say that, because if you could head it off without any lashon hara being said, so you know right away. This is a mistake. Okay, you don't realize. You're looking for one thing he or she are not looking for that. So that's all. So then there's no basis to say any further lashon hara. In other words, the lashon hara sometimes, you know, the information needs to be given over, but it only needs to be given over when it's necessary. If it's not necessary, you can't say it. So if there is no tachlis, because you see right away, this is a mistake. They don't want this. They don't want this. So, for example, if an Ashkenazi, you know, not today, there's obviously nothing wrong. Ashkenazi and Sephardim marrying each other, but sometimes you have people that are very b'shita, that they want to keep their customs, so they're only looking for an Ashkenazi spouse or a Sephardi spouse, depending on who it is. And you know that the other side, you know, isn't that. So right away, that's all you need to say. Finished, right? And that's all. In other words, the information can only be given over if it's necessary. If it's not necessary, you can't say it. Okay, also, in a situation where you have the ability to head it off without divulging anything. Like, even if you know that, okay, this is the type of person that they're looking for. However, I know something that's really harmful about this person. So, if you could get away with just saying, I'll tell you the truth, it's not a shidduch. It's not a shidduch. I know who you're asking about, and from what I hear, you know, the way you're describing your child, or I know your child, it's not a shidduch. If you can get away with just that, then that also is all you could say, because lashon hara cannot be given over freely. You can't say it over. The justification to say it is because, like we said, you're saving a blind person from stumbling. You don't want to watch a Jew get into trouble. But I could avoid all those things by simply saying, I'm telling you, it's not a match. I'm telling you, it's not a match. Don't bother. It's not a match. If you could get by with that, then that alone would be the only right thing to say, because anything more is just some. There's no point to give that over. Okay. Now another situation where there would be no talk. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But if they're pushing you, yeah, you say, can you just give me one reason because you really heard good things about the person,
right?
What point do you keep on saying, I'm just telling you it's not?
So if they're pushing you, so you have to make a decision. You have to know also, as I was about to say, you have to know if what you're going to say is going to make a difference. In other words, sometimes people call, but their mind is made up already. They're just calling to make themselves feel better about it, or maybe, you know, to satisfy someone who's nudging them to call. In other words, you have, let's say, parents looking into a shidduch for their child. So one parent is okay with it, but the other one isn't. So just make the phone call, you know. So, but you could tell from talking to them that it's not going to matter. Even if you tell them the lashon hara, unless you tell them something really vile, they're going to go ahead with it anyway. So then there's also no tachlis. If they're pushing and pushing, so then you have to say. If you think that you could change their opinion, and you're not going to change their opinion unless you tell them what's wrong, so then, okay, then you have to tell them what's wrong. But based on what we're about to say in terms of what can be said and what can't be said. But it's best, if it could be avoided, to just head it off and say, listen, I'm telling you, it's not a shidduch. I know this person. It's just not a shidduch. Finished. Okay, now, what happens, so now, if you're being pressed, tell me what the problem is. Okay, so now here, we get into a situation where a person has to understand that there are certain chesronos, there are certain deficiencies in a person that make a difference, and there are certain things that don't make a difference. There are certain things that objectively make a difference regardless of the situation. Like, for example, if a person has rachmana litzlan, a major illness that is being concealed, they're not saying it over, and there's situations like this where that happens, where however the people justify it, you know, they conceal permanently, they don't ever say over that there's a vet, that this person involved in the shidduch has a serious illness, a life-threatening illness, and you know that if the other side would be aware of this, they definitely wouldn't enter into it. So that is an objective type of thing that you're allowed to say, if you know it's true, and you see that it's being hit, that it's being concealed. Now, the truth of the matter is that sometimes, you know, really the best thing is that people entering into a shidduch should volunteer this information on their own. In other words, the boy and the girl at some point doesn't necessarily have to be, depending on the situation, person has to know, person has to consult with a competent rav to know what you say and when you say it. But if there is a serious situation that you're aware of, that you know is being concealed, so that's Osamen al Dam Reyach. If you know that this person has a life-threatening illness, or you know that this person is totally emotionally, not stable, a totally unstable person, and therefore they're prone to all kinds of things that could happen, and it could seriously affect a marriage, that it'll end up in the disastrous type of thing. So then that type of thing you for sure have to say. But yes, I'm sorry.
What if it's not life-threatening, but it could affect their quality of life or lifestyle?
Okay, so if it's not life-threatening, but it could affect the lifestyle, a person really has to make an assessment, and sometimes a person may have to speak it over with the Rav because of the following halacha. Because if you turn to the final page here, so the Chafetz Chaim says in the laws of Rechilus, so the Chafetz Chaim says in Sivvav, in Hilchus Rechilus, the ninth section, Sivvav, the Chafetz Chaim says, "Atanasu levar im hachosin yesh lo chesronos atzumim." He's talking about the boy, let's say, but it doesn't apply only to the boy, obviously. If the chosin involved has chesronos atzumim, significant deficiencies, right? Ki yesh nafgamina ben hachesronos. The Chafetz Chaim says, because when it comes to deficiencies, there are all kinds of levels. Dahainu, so the Chafetz Chaim says, if the deficiency in the person is because of an illness, but the other side is not aware of this, because it is an internal problem, it's not visible. Person carrying a serious disease is affected by a serious disease, but you can't tell from looking at them. So then, says the Chafetz Chaim, Pashahu, it is clear and obvious, the Ein Al Megala in Yizech, Shashis Rechilus, that to say that is not Rechilus. But it has to be Choli Gufo, and what the Chafetz Chaim calls a Chisronos Atzumim, significant major deficiencies. Now, if you look on the bottom, in the Ber Mayim Chaim, which is the Chafetz Chaim wrote a little bit of an elaboration on these halachas, so he says in Sifkat and Ches, so he says in subsection Aleph, he says, she's baro esol mitchila, ki davar zehu b'chal choli aguf, that you have to know this is a real illness, lafukim hu rak cholish betivo, as opposed to a person who's just physically weak. Because sometimes you have people who are physically weak. They're not strong. Some people are very strong. They could do all kind, you know, go bench press, who knows how much, you know, and so forth. But the other people are not so physically strong. But it doesn't affect their life. It doesn't affect their life. It just, he's a little bit of a weaker person. Maybe needs a little more sleep, whatever it is, but basically can function normally. So the Chafetz Chaim says that type of thing is not so simple that you could say. Right? It's very likely you couldn't say that because of the fact that you have to take into consideration all these situations. You don't know who you're dealing with. How do you know who you're dealing with? In other words, the person who's asking may have the same problem. It could be that whoever suggested the match, whoever was the shadchan of this match, took that into consideration. So therefore you say, you know, well he's weak. Or she may be also. Or they may not care. Or you have other situations which are questionable chisronos. Like, for example, the person isn't the most patient person in the world. Okay, so some people would consider that a very big deficiency. I want a person who's very patient and very calm and not short-tempered. But on the other hand, there are other people in the world who don't, it doesn't bother them so much. They're okay with that. For whatever reason. That's the way it is. Or a person, this guy's the most unorganized person in the world. Right? Okay, not everybody holds that to be a chesaron. They're people who don't, okay, so good. So the other side says, well, I'm not that way, so we'll balance each other out. Right? Part of marriage is that each one is mashlim the other. Each one, you know, should a little bit try to complement the other one in terms of, you know, filling in. The husband is deficient in this area, so the wife makes up for it. The wife is deficient in this area, the husband. They work together. So not every deficiency is something that needs to be said, because if you say it, just the mere fact that you say it, first of all, you're revealing Lashon Hara, which is not, how is it going to matter if you tell them this? I mean, he's not organized. They may not care. So you just went ahead and said Lashon Hara for no reason. It didn't affect them. It doesn't bother them. Now, in the case that you're asking where you have an illness that affects the quality of life, so it could well be that again, depends, you know, exactly what that means. That could be a chesaron and atzum. In other words, if it's going to affect their life in such a way that they, you know, significant challenges come up, so then maybe that type of thing could very well be. You do have to say that a person has to, a competent rav who knows the laws of Lashon Hara is very, very important to have on your list of the on your speed dial, you know, to know who to call, because sometimes shilas come up and you know, or if you know that you're going to get called, you know, sometimes people say, I want to put you down as a reference. Well, if you know that they're putting you down as a reference and you know there's something that you're not comfortable with, so really the right thing to do is ahead of time find out, is this something that I should say? It may not be. You see all the time that people, there are some things that are highly subjective. Now, I was objective, so the other side doesn't really care. Okay, I'd prefer if it wasn't that way. You see this all the time. The fact is that nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. So, you know, everyone thinks that, the klal gadol of nobody's perfect applies to everyone except for themselves. But the reality is that nobody's perfect. It includes everybody. So therefore, everybody has some chesaron. So how do you plan to get married? So the answer is, well, because the other side, you know, good. So it's not a major problem. So I'm not perfect in this area. But she's not either. So, you know, she's not in a different area. So good. So that you accept that. That's part of life. You know, it's only in these, you know, the Hollywood, you know, fantasy that you've got the perfect person, you know, Prince Charming came and swept her off her feet. You know, this is chalomos. That's not the real world. So therefore, that type of thing, a person has to be aware of. So what are you saying it for? What are you telling them this? It doesn't matter. And they would like to, you know, it's like an esrog. I forgive the analogy, you know, but a person goes to buy an esrog. They want to get the best esrog. Okay, so when it comes to shidduchim, a lot of times also, you know, that's the attitude. I would get the best one available. But, so you start asking, what about this and what about that? And you ask about all kinds of dubious things which are not relevant, and you'll marry the person anyway, even if you really like them, you'll marry them even with that issue. So to just volunteer that information is not acceptable, I guess.
Suppose that you have a friend.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
This is just not going to work.
So that's what, forgive me for saying it, but that's loosely referred to as playing God. In other words, I know, I don't think this is going to work. I mean, I think we all can say safely that you look around in the world and you see a lot of married couples and you say, wow, isn't that interesting? I never would have thought that those two people would marry each other. You see that all the time, right? So it's very hard to make such projections. In other words, can you say that, you know, that's if they're asking you for an opinion. You know, that's a different thing. You know, do you think this is going to work? Okay, to say I don't think it's going to work is in and of itself is not Lashon Hara, because you're just saying I don't think it's going to work, but how could anyone really say that?
Maybe they know something about the person. Maybe it's not that they're very, you know, not that they have an illness, but maybe they know something about the person.
Okay, so that you have to know. So you have to know. There are certain things. It basically, what it comes down to is like this. If it's something that can affect, if it's a health issue, or it could affect the Shalom bias in a serious way, because one person is not stable, or one person has a ferocious temper that they're able to hide very well when everything is calm. They go out on dates. It's a nice, comfortable, you know, environment. So, you know, the ambiance doesn't lend itself to a temper. But you know that this person is a volcano waiting to erupt at any moment. So then that type of thing. Okay, that you may have to tell them. Because when this comes out into the open, it could be, you know, that it's not going to be tolerated. It could very well be it's not going to be tolerated. Or if it affects observance of halacha. If you know that a person, they're putting on a good show, but you know that they're not really so committed to halacha, and after they get married, you know, they're going to start dropping things left and right. So then also, that's also the type of thing that could end up in a very big problem, because first of all, you know, so naval seat and Mitchell, either the other side is going to have to lower their standard and do the wrong thing also, or very often that'll result in a big dispute as well.
If you're not asked, that's a good point.
In these situations, you could say even if you're not asked. If you're, in other words, you don't have to be asked. In other words, and we'll see in a minute, the fact that somebody asks is not a license to go ahead and slander a person either. Okay? In other words, the point is, if you know this information, so then it's with Nevo Sita Mishal, whether they ask you or not. You know this is a disaster. It's a disaster waiting to happen. So you have to say something. Or, you know, that's true. Even if you're not asked. Even if you're not asked. That is true. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
So I've been in situations before where I get different calls, at times I feel very concerned in terms of how to respond, so I pause and in my mind I'm thinking, and I have said, but it's very uncomfortable to say, you know, that I need to speak to a Rav because I need to say
right.
That in of itself
right.
is implying Lashara, and I realize, like, by even saying that,
right.
I'm saying there's something serious.
Right.
So how do you balance it? Because you get the phone call.
Very hard. It's very hard. It's very hard. I agree. I don't know the answer to that. Sometimes you may want to give a favorable response, then hang up and think about it, and then call them back. You know, a Rav I was once discussing this with years ago said that maybe that's why Hashem created the caller ID. You know, in other words, because you have a record, of who called you. So now you could call them back. You can call them. So it's true. If you pause, that's a death sentence. In other words, if you have to think about it and say, well, what do you mean? You know, well, isn't this a slam dunk? Isn't this? Why don't you just come right out and give a glowing report? So even if you're going to give a glowing report, in other words, you know the person has hay fever. Okay, so for a minute, yeah, and the hay fever is not something that needs to be said of. I mean, that is certain, you know, that truthfully, in an erlicha situation, the boy and the girl should give over that information before, you know, even though it's a minor thing, like asthma, it's not a big deal. But, okay, you know, that type of thing, maybe you should say at some point, but that's not something for a person that I have a losamet al dam re'echa, but they you could live a very happy life with that. So what does that have to do with anything? Right? So if you stop to think for a second, they say, oh, forget it, yeah. I didn't get the gushing, glowing report. And it could be you would have given a gushing, glowing report. Just it took you a split second to think, oh, this is not a concern. Yes, it's a very big problem. So sometimes you maybe say something, and then if you think it over and call them back and say, I just want you to know that I thought about it. And, you know, people should respect the laws of Lashon Hara in these things. People should, in other words, a religious person should at least be able to respect the fact that, look, the reason why I said this originally was because I was concerned about Lashon Hara, but I had to think about it. Now I'm telling you. Okay? It's wrong for a person to say, put aside Lashon Hara. You know, I know there's Mr. Lashon Hara, but put that aside. I need to know the information. You can't put aside an Isser in the Torah. I mean, you can't say, ignore that. Right? You can't, I had that experience once with a person who was, I sensed that they would just beg, they so badly wanted to hear me say something bad. They were prying. I should say something bad. So I said, well, you know, what is this? You know, this is not, what are you trying to do here? I'm telling you positive things. Well, there's nothing more to say. Okay. So anyway, but there are situations, like we say, these types of situations, a person is obligated to say it, and it's true, even if it's unsolicited. Even unsolicited, if you know that the person is heading into a disastrous situation, okay, but you have to know. You have to know it's disastrous. For example, you can't just spend 10 seconds thinking about it. You have to sometimes know that the other side doesn't know this. How do you know they don't know this? Maybe they're aware of it. It's happened also with situations where I felt I had to say something, and the other side said, "I'm aware of it. I have the same problem." That's what happened. You know, that happens too. So you have to know who you're talking to, and you know. So the way to avoid this, really, if a person is consulted, and again, these, you know, what we're saying here is speaking about shidduchim, but it's not limited to shidduchim. It's also business partners also, the type of thing. You have to know is the type of thing that's going to affect the relationship. Obviously, there are different criteria in a business relationship than there are in a shidduch, right? But the fact of the matter is that you have, again, you can't just come and gush forth with all kinds of information. You know, people like to be the one, I'm a good guy to call because I'll give you all the dirt. I know the dirt on everybody. You know, I could tell you all the information. Very popular person to call. I'll call him. I'll find out everything. That may not be the right thing. It may not be mutter to do that. Yeah. Yes, go ahead. So then it's better to say I can't be a reference. You make up a story. I don't feel comfortable. I'm not a good person. It's very hard to reach me on the phone. People are going to call me. They'll be frustrated. I don't answer the phone. I don't listen to my messages. Right, whatever it is. Right, not uncommon situation. So you can say it's better to say that than just head it off. Because if you could avoid having to say the lashon hara, it's always better. Yes, sir.
Somebody had a health issue.
And you're
aware that there was something happening.
Right.
I don't know what happened exactly, but right. It's possible that it was, you know, it's not just the guy had a cold.
So what do you do in a situation where you're not sure how severe the issue is? So sometimes you have to research yourself. Or maybe put the caller in contact, give them another reference. Say, listen, I don't know the situation so well, but this person does. So call this person, here's the number, or whatever, even if you don't have the number. Call this person. That would be the right thing to do in a situation like that. Yes.
In terms of etiquette,
yes.
Is it proper if you get a call, or even if you're making a call, to ask, do you have specific questions to ask?
Yes, okay.
Rather than just
right.
Tell
so,
me about the...
Fine. So therefore, that's a very important thing. In other words, when we talk about therefore, so what's the etiquette in such a situation? How do you approach it? So the best thing is, and I try to do this myself, is on both sides of the equation, is to say, if you're being called to say, tell me about your child, tell me about the person who you're asking for, what are they looking for? What are they looking for? Because if you say that, if you hear what the person's looking for, it's easier for you to just simply say it's not a match. In other words, if you say, my daughter is looking for a boy who has the sterling midos staff and she's makbid, you know, she's a wonderful girl and this is what means more to her than anything, the boy should have very good midos, and you know that this boy doesn't have such good midos, even though his not such good midos in other situations may not be a problem. A lot of people would accept his not such good midos. But you heard that they want bedafka, somebody with very good midos, so then you could say, I'll tell you the truth, I don't think this is what you're looking for. And you don't have to say anything more. You don't have to say, it's not what you're looking for because this guy has a terrible temper. There's no reason to say that. What do you have to say that for? Just say, I understand this is what you're looking for. I know this boy very well. Trust me, this is not what you're looking for. Finished. That way, you protected the person. The person does not have to, there will not be an iver. They will not blindly go into something. It will not be a dam reyecha. And at the same time, you didn't have to divulge lashon hara either. Lashon hara can only be said, lashon hara that needs to be said is not lashon hara. In other words, the prohibition of lashon hara is when you can't say it. When you're supposed to say it, it's not lashon hara. In other words, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to suggest that a person, so there's a problem in shidduchim today sometimes that people are so obsessed with the concern of lashon hara that they violate the other mitzvahs, that they know there's a real problem, they don't say anything. Right, and that's not right. That's not right because that's what's naval sit to michshol. How could you do that? That's also an isser. That's also a prohibition. So you have to. It's not such a simple phone call when someone calls for information like that. You have to really think. You can't do it while you're eating supper or reading the paper, you know, with one eye and answering their questions. That's not going to cut it because this is really, you know, this would be like doing surgery. The amount of focus and precision that's needed would be the equivalent of a surgeon doing a surgery. You have to be very careful what you say. You have to know what to say and know how to say it. So the person who's asking, really, first and foremost, so the person who's calling for information has to say why they're calling. They don't have to necessarily say who they are, but they have to say why they're calling. Because if not, in other words, if a person doesn't say, I'm calling for a shidduch, I just want information on this person, so then you have no right to say it, because that's not lashon hara. How do you know why they're calling? Right? So even if you say something, this is a halacha that people are not aware of, even if you say something that wouldn't be lashon hara, but it's only not lashon hara if you said it l'toelos. In other words, sometimes when you have to divulge negative information on another person, it's one of the conditions, which I'll get to in a minute, one of the conditions under which is mutter is that you said it, your intention was that I'm saying it with toelos. I'm not saying it because I don't like the guy. I'm not saying it because I want revenge, because this guy I'm angry at, so therefore I'm going to teach him a lesson, I'm going to give over. Right? If you said it for the wrong intention, then it's lashon hara, even if it was justified. In other words, even if it was justified what the purpose of the call was, but they didn't tell you that. They didn't tell you they're calling for a shidduch. So how do you know why they're calling? So they maybe they say stop volunteering information on somebody you're not allowed to do ever. That you can't say. That's mamash lashon hara. How could a person say that? So therefore, the person who's calling has to say first and foremost that I'm calling for a shidduch. That's number one. The second thing is, and it doesn't have to be a parent. Sometimes parents aren't comfortable doing it. They ask the Rav to do it, or the Rebbetzin to do it, or a friend to do it. It doesn't have to be a parent. But here also, you have to know that if you could have minimized the amount of lashon hara needs to be said, like for example, you don't necessarily, if you know something negative and you could relate it, you relay it directly to the people, then to say it to the shadchan, to say it to the people, is unnecessary lashon hara also, because what you need, that wasn't necessary, you could have said it straight to them. Sometimes you don't know who they are, see, then you have to say it to the shadchan. But if you know, if you're comfortable calling the parents directly and say, listen, a shadchan just told me that this shidduch, I'm telling you it's no good. And if need be, you could even say why, but you don't, to say it to unnecessary people is no good either. Okay? The next thing that a person who's calling really should say, and if he doesn't say it or she doesn't say it, then the recipient of the call should ask, is what are your standards? What are your standards? You know, a common question comes up with yeshiva boy, does he know how to learn? Does he know how to learn is a very, very vague question. There could be 100 answers to that. Because on what standard? On what standard? Is he material to become Rosh Yeshiva one day? Not necessarily, but he knows how to learn. He could read a Gemara. He could make an intelligent laning on a Gemara. He could, you know, he knows how to understand what he's learning. So he's not the top student. So what does that mean? Does he know how to learn? So if they ask you that, and very often this happens, that they just want to hear that he's a serious boy. That's what they want to hear. Then I'm interested. Some people want that means a lot to them. That's a very big value, that they want to know that this guy is a big Talmud Chacham potential, or, you know, type, or perhaps in some situations, in many yeshivas, there's an age-old custom that the son-in-law eventually gets a position in the yeshiva. You know, so they need to know that. He's not suitable for this. You're taking him as a son-in-law, and your plan is that you're going to give him one day to succeed you. You know, when you retire as Rosh Yeshiva, he's not that guy. He's a great boy. He's a wonderful boy. But he's not that. But that's only if they're holding on that standard. But if they're not holding on that standard, they just want a legitimate, serious boy, so then he is that. So then what does it mean? Does he know how to learn? That's a very general question. And the Chofetz Chaim specifically says that generally speaking, a person has to answer yes to that. Unless he's asked very, very specific information, and you know that the information means a lot to them. If it's just the question of that when I'm going to come into shul by the kiddush, I'll be able to tell all my friends that I got the best boy in Lakewood, right? So, you know, there are 1,000 such boys, right, who are the best boys in Lakewood, right? So what does that mean? Why does that matter to you? Why does that matter to you? Is your daughter the best girl in wherever? You know, you have to get the best boy in Lakewood. Wait. You know, how does that come to you? Like, why is that a consideration? So if it's a consideration because my daughter is the type that Dafka wants that and it means more to her than other things, okay. then you have to get into that nitty gritty. But if not, just a question of, I want to be able to tell that to people, that's not a cheshbon. What's that? You know, that's silly. You know, just to say, it's a good boy and a good girl and mishadach, you know, so perfect. That's a beautiful shidduch. You know what I'm saying? That's really what a person has to look into. Yes. Yeah.
So what should you do?
I think, according to the Chofetz Chaim,
the guy's not the best guy. Like,
so you have to know why they want it, and you have to know if it's a game breaker. In other words, if I answer no, are they going to break the shidduch, or are they just going to say shucks? I can't say that at the kiddush, or I'll say it anyway, but I'm going to lie, right? In other words, if you know that they're that type of person, you have to know. If this is a deal breaker, then you have to say the truth. Then you have to, because if it means something to them, so then you're giving them benefit. This is what they want. This is what they want. If this is what they want, this is what they want. If it's not a deal breaker, then you can't lie. But you can't lie. But you have to give a vague answer. You say, oh, he's a very good boy. He's a good boy. He's not Rosh Hashiva material. Very few are. You know what I'm saying? In other words, he's not the best Nishi. You know, sometimes saying that already scares people up. But you say, he's a very solid Nishi. You focus on the positives and that's it. But to say otherwise, like, what's the point? What's the point? It doesn't mean, it's not gonna break, it's not a make it or break it by these people. If it is, that's something else. If it is, that's something else. You know, but it has to be something that you know. In other words, if they're makbid, so then if you don't tell them, it could end up in a problem later, because they'll get upset. They'll say, hey, wait a minute, I thought you knew this. Or whatever it is, right? But if not. So just because we're running out of time, let me just end up with a few points. In other words, first of all, when a person, the Chofetz Chaim makes it very clear, that when a person is allowed to say Lashon Hara, in situations where you're allowed to give over negative information, it has to meet the following conditions. Okay? And these things are absolute conditions that must be met. And there's number one, you have to know that what you're saying is accurate. How do you know that's true? If it's just a rumor, so then you have to tell them that it's just a rumor. You say, I don't know this to be true. Sometimes you may not be able to say it at all. But it has to be something that you know is accurate information. Okay? If you heard it secondhand, but you checked it out, that's also fine. But if it's just what people say, but you don't know it to be true, so then it's questionable whether you could say that. And if pressed, the most you could say is that this is what people say. I have no basis to say that that's true. This is what I've heard. Okay, that's number one. Number two is that a person cannot exaggerate. If there's a problem, you can say the problem, but you can't say more than that. You can't say, okay, that's the problem. The problem is, you know, the person has, you want someone who is very good midos, okay, this boy has a temper. But you can't say, this guy is a tyrant, you know, this guy is like, Mount Vesuvius waiting to erupt at any moment. That's an exaggeration. What are you saying that for? Okay, number three is that you have to be mechavin l'toelas. That this is a very important thing. And this is very hard to do. You have to say it with sincere intentions. I'm saying this to help you. It happens a lot of times that you could be asked about someone who you don't like, or you don't get along with, or different things, and then you say, it's very hard to filter out, to say it for the right intentions. You know, so the Chofetz Chaim makes a very big point out of this. You have to have in mind that I'm saying this with toelas. Okay, number four, it has to be said in the least harmful way. Whatever is needed to dissuade the people from this proposal, that's all it takes. You can't say more. Okay? And then number five, which is also a difficult thing, is that you have to weigh how much harm is going to come from this information. Now, sometimes you can give over information and the people who you're saying it to have such big mouths that it's going to spread throughout Klal Yisrael. Which unfortunately today, Bavanseinu Arabim, with the internet, right, the capacity to say Lashon Hara, the Chofetz Chaim in his wildest dreams, and I should say in his wildest nightmares, never envisioned the ability, the potential to say Lashon Hara like there is today with the internet, because Lashon Hara, without technology, was limited to a person's town, to a person's surroundings, but then telephones came about. So a telephone, now you could spread the information. But something is put online, it stays forever, and people see it all over the world. A person in New Zealand sees it. A person in in who knows where in the Ukraine sees it, and why is that necessary, right? What do they need to know this for? So this is the most vile form of Lashon Hara that exists, is when stuff gets put on online, which of Anasenu or Rabbim you see more and more all the time. So that type of thing is absolutely not permissible. Now, if you know that if you say this, this is going to happen, it may not be mutter to say it, even if it's very harmful information. In other words, even if it's the type of thing that they really need to know, but you know that if I tell them this, the guy is finished. He's finished. It'll go all over the world. So then the harm that's coming to the person is not justified by the benefit of telling them. So that's a big shiloh if you're allowed to do that. That person has to. That's a big shiloh whether the person allowed to do that. So those are the conditions. And last but not least, I would just say that a person has to always bear in mind that whenever it comes to Lashon Hara, what even situations allowed to be said, a person really, it's hard to do what I'm about to say, but a person really not supposed to be makabel Lashon Hara. In other words, the Gemara says the person allowed to be choshesh, you're allowed to be concerned about it, but you can't accept it as fact. You cannot accept it as fact, meaning that you could say to yourself, listen, okay, this is what I was told, so I'm allowed to be concerned. I want to enter into a business deal with a person, someone told me he's a ganef, so maybe it's based on a misunderstanding, but I have the right to take the information and say that I'm going to be concerned about it, but to accept it as absolute fact is prohibitive. Kabbalah's Lashon Hara, that very often there's no right to do that. In other words, how can you accept that as fact? It's not, you don't need to accept it as fact. This is what they told me. So this is what they told me. Okay, so then I have the right to be concerned about it, but not necessarily to accept it as fact. Rabosa, this is, I guess, a basic overview of the Lashon Hara when it comes to Shidduchim. A lot of times, the shilas that come up is very, very difficult, you know, to know always what the right thing to say is, but at the very least, the person should be aware that just because you're being called doesn't give you a license to spew forth everything that you know. You don't have to give an encyclopedia article. I know this person since they were a kid. I'll tell you all the things they did wrong in the last 30 years. Right? That's Stam Lashon Hara. There's no basis for that. How is that justified? So while a person cannot be obsessed with Lashon Hara to the extent that they won't say over information that needs to be transmitted, but at the same time, a person really has to realize that they're balancing out, walking a tightrope between two colossal surim in the Torah, Lashon Hara on one hand, Losan Adam Reach on the other hand, and a person has to think and to the best of their ability, act accordingly.